following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in here on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Captain Leon Dane in here this morning.
I'm here.
Barely.
Put these earplugs on. Here.
And we got Matt from Trolling Motor Service Plus over here. So,
good morning.
Appreciate you coming in, and hopefully we'll have some people that have a few questions about it. And I know, I've had people ask me a bunch of stuff, but to me, I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't know anything about them. But, you know, as many trolling motors I've had over the years, but I still don't know anything about them. I mean, as far as working on them, I can change the prop on it.
I've seen you do that.
Let's get Captain Chip Wingo on here this morning.
Wingo Steen, good morning.
Morning, Chip.
Morning.
What's up, guys?
Are you on there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. You broke up a little bit there.
Yeah, it's this wonderful AT&T phone I have.
Oh, so, man, that's what I have.
Yeah. He's talking through one of those armored cases like Matt's got. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Speaking of Matt, yeah, I don't know anything about trolling motors except how to break them. So, yeah. Matt's taking good care of me and Leon, keeping us making money on the water. Well, I don't know about making money, but being on the water.
Yeah, really. I know what you mean.
But, no, Matt, thanks. This one's working perfect now.
That's awesome, man. Awesome.
It is. Beeps now.
Is that the one you just got back?
Yeah, the one I just got back. I went by there the other day, and Matt was busy in a one-armed paper hanger or a one-legged cat in a cat litter box. So got me taken care of, you know, and back on the water. And yesterday, had a really good bite yesterday.
That you did.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I love it when kids are on the boat and they get to experience something as big as they are.
Yeah.
But, it's God, what a beautiful morning it's starting out to be. I hope this rain will hold out.
Yeah.
It will.
They kind of talked about early today. So, just keep an eye on it. But it's supposed to move in from the south-southeast today, I think.
Gotcha.
So you kind of have to keep your eyes that way. I know Thursday, got back and got my guys in their car just in time enough for me to get, you know, soaking wet.
Thursday was no joke.
Yeah, all the way. I mean, it was before I could get the boat on the trailer, and then I even sit in the truck about 15 minutes waiting to strap it down because lightning was popping all around the truck.
That storm went to beast mode real quick.
It did. It was a bad one. And I got home. It was funny because I called my wife, told her, I said, I'm going to be a little bit because I'm going to sit here and wait for it to quit lightning. She said, oh, it's sunshine in here. Well, by the time I got home, it started storming there. And I'd go out and try to clean the boat a little bit. As soon as I get in the boat, it would just pour down.
You didn't?
I'd just sit on the porch. And then, it'd slack off a little bit. I'd go out there. Lightning started popping. I'd go back to the porch.
Hey, Chip.
Yeah.
What is that? What do you call it, the car wash for your boat?
That's the Bahamian. This is a Bahamian boat wash.
That's it.
Yeah.
The islands up rains real clean, and we used to joke around about it when we come in from being offshore that rain would come in and wash the boats in the afternoon so we wouldn't have to get on the tower to clean them up. So it worked out really well.
That was good, but I tell you what, man, using some crab sometime, if you don't get out there and wash it, you know, it's still.
Or how about late in the summer? When the breeding bulls start showing up, and you got to start cleaning them up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, I mix half chlorine, half water, 2 squirts of Dawn in a sprayer. You spray it down the whole deck, walk away, come back 30 minutes later, and rinse it off, and it's spotless.
I know when you put that bleach in there, you can see right where all the...
Yeah, it turns yellow.
Yeah, all where they've...
messed up.
Kind of milked in the boat there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it turns just as bright yellow, so you see it and get it out of there, you know.
Give it a hot shot right there. I know. Yep.
Yeah, it works out pretty good. I'm pretty happy with the way that stuff works. I got some new stuff I got that works really good on the hull, too. It's not new. It's just a oxalic acid. Mix it up, and it works really well. So,
and doesn't hurt your wrap?
Nope, doesn't hurt anything. Spray it right on. All it does is take off the hard water stains, takes off the rust, the brown, everything. I'll get you some, Vic. It's not that expensive. It's only like $7.
Yeah, because I've been using Snowball, you know, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Because that stuff, you know, that's amazing, too. You don't have to scrub it or anything. It just takes that brown right off.
Yeah.
From sitting in that skinny water at low tide. Yeah. That's exactly where it comes from. Yep. Chip, where are you at right now?
Sitting at Beach Marine waiting on, or Beach Boulevard Ramp waiting on my clients. I think they just pulled up.
I'm going to say it's 610.
Okay. Real quick, what kind of trolling motor you got?
XI5.
XI5, okay. And
motor
gun. Did you get 36 volt?
No. I have 24 volt.
Oh, do you really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How, what size is your boat?
19. So they call it a Redfisher 18, but on the title it says 19.
Oh, okay.
18 foot overall. And I'd love to have the 36 volt if I could get one of a 36 volt lithium ion battery that was under, you know, a certain amount of money.
Under $4,000?
Yeah. So
that's what it would be, I guarantee you. Guaranteed, yeah, it'd be $4,000 for a 36 volt battery.
It's a one battery?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if, do they, you know, let's defer to Matt here. Matt, do they make the 136?
They do make a 136. Yeah. I don't know where to get it.
Pull that.
Rely on you. You're going to have to. Yes, pull that big arm towards you. There you go, brother.
But
I know they make a 24. They probably rely on makes a 36, but I just don't have any room for something like that.
Well, I have a hatch that I could get it in the forward hatch, and it's so light, you know, I could put it in there and then change. I mean, I would change everything up. It'd be really easy to do, sort of, but, you know, it's not as easy on that pocketbook, so that wall.
Wow.
So, you know, but, no, I'm happy with mine now. I mean, it's great. I mean, I love the accuracy of it. You know, I mean, Leon has a new one that, you know, he can ski behind, but,
yeah.
You know, got so much power. I mean, I'd like to try one out at 36 volts. I mean, it would help me in the river, but
yeah, it sure would.
You know, I also have this thing called an anchor if I have to use it.
Yes, so. And it is lighter and cheaper.
Yeah, so
you make a very valid point there.
Yes, just pulling that anchor at times is bad, boy. I'm telling you.
Oh, you ain't, dude. I cringe watching you guys start to pull those things up in that current.
If I was smart, which I'm not because I'm a charter captain, but if I was smart.
Okay, you know that part then.
Yeah, I'd have an anchor ball, throw it on there and just pull forward and just pull it right in. I watch guys do it all the time and it's like no work at all for them. So, you know.
And then you got to put the anchor ball somewhere.
Yeah, I'll find somewhere. I'll fly it off a pole or something.
Yeah, I've got one at the house that's bigger than that I used to use on my Carolina skiff. But some of the times when you're fishing, if you're close to people, you can't really get that 30-degree angle, you
know, right,
to pull it loose.
Man, holy cow, I'm looking at a Leon Dana school of mullet coming through right now.
Are you saying it's a school of mullet that I couldn't hit with a 4-foot net?
No, it's so big that you couldn't miss it.
So. Oh, well, what man. You going after today for, Chip?
Bull reds, or not bull reds, but just redfish. I got to get tied down.
All right, buddy. Put your phone number out there.
904-614-4989.
Kind of breaking up again here.
Even I know that number.
All right, Chip. Appreciate your call, man. Good luck today.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
Later, brother.
Later, Chip.
222-8255 is the number. Give us a call if you'd like to. 222-TALK. And we'll be back after this.
The soothing sounds of the carefree life of coastal birds. You too can have a worry-free life by letting Frontline Insurance navigate your path to stress-free home ownership. At Frontline, we've been there for Floridians when the seas were more than a little choppy. Nearly 90% of Frontline's policyholders were paid within 3 weeks of having the damage to their home inspected after Hurricane Irma. Let Frontline Insurance be your lifeline to security and peace of mind. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida. If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 The Answer. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. Still Just Fishing is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here he is, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And so we got Matt here from Trolling Motor Service Plus. And
the trolling motor guru.
Yeah, if you got any kind of questions or anything, you want to give us a call. 222-8255 is the number to call us. And Leon, you got a different motor this year.
Yeah, I kind of like want to test every motor. I'm a kind of a guy that likes to, you know, test things out, you know, yeah. See how things work. What do I like? And I've so far, you know, I've only been doing this 5 years now, but I've run basically every trolling motor there is out there just to see what I like and which one do I want to work through. And I'm running a Rodan. And I bumped it up to the 36 volt this year from using the motor guide XI5 with the pinpoint, which, of course, I've also used the Minn Kota with the spot lock. So I've used every single model except for this year. I went up to the 36 volt so that I could sit in the river. Basically, short end of the stick is the 36 volt. The 36 volt Rodan that I'm using produces 120 pounds of thrust. I am using it on an 18 foot Maverick flats boat, which I believe with the motor weighs 1500 pounds. So yes, it is overkill, but no, it's not overkill when you're getting into the river fishing,
right?
And you're fishing heavy current. I was, like I said, I was using the Motor Guide XI5, which produces 80 pounds of thrust with a 24 volt system. Now I have 50% more thrust, and I'm running at 36 volts, so therefore I'm not putting as much strain on my batteries.
Correct.
Like I was. Yeah. So it makes sense. I mean, especially when we get out there and technically, you're not supposed to anchor up in a channel. Mm-hmm. So you can throw your trolling motor down and I can hang longer than most people can, because if they're using a 24-volt system, they're not going to be able to hold once that current starts really starting to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, and when you have a full moon and a new moon, at times, you know, you have that lot more current going through also.
Right.
So, you know, the current's so much stronger at times. But like you're talking about, if you're anchored along the edge of the channel trying to catch bull red or whatever, and the ship comes through and starts blowing at you, you can just bump it over and get out of the channel and bump it right back and get back in line again.
Right, absolutely.
That's what I like about, instead of having to pull the anchor.
You know? I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah.
Anchor's like a dirty word to me, man, now that we got these things.
I know, and what I really like about it is sheepshead fishing or flounder fishing. And
the reason
I say that about the sheepshead and the flounder, you know, when you're fishing along the edge of the rocks at the jetties and you're sheepshead fishing, sometimes you'll get several bites, you know, catch a few fish, you stop getting bites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can move up 20 feet. A lot of times you can move up 20 feet, start getting into them again.
Right.
You know, and you can move the boat 10 feet and start getting in them. Yeah, it's amazing, really. The way the sheephead are. But at times, instead of trying to, you know, pull that anchor, reset your bars, because, you know, you're going to bend those bars a lot of times when you pull them down the rocks. And then take and move up a little bit, and then go ahead.
What
and
is that?
The air conditioner.
Oh. I thought it was thunder. I thought it was thunder coming down, man.
That's the air conditioner turned on.
Good gracious.
They got a good air conditioner.
You ain't kidding.
It's not like jet engine coming through. But you know, being able to pull up like that and then just hitting the spot lock again, you know, and sitting still, I mean, it's just amazing to me.
It has changed our fishing. It has changed the world of fishing, actually.
Yeah, my back is thankful for it, I can tell you that. And when you're flounder fishing, you know, especially when you're doing it around the docks and stuff, you know, you just pull in between two docks, you know, and then instead of anchoring up or sitting there holding your hand on a trolling motor, you know, you just hit the manual, go around the next dock, hit the lock again, you know, and be anchored, you know.
The GPS lock mechanism on trolling motors has put a lot more fish in the cooler than, I think that fundamentally changed fishing. There's that and power poles have changed
fishing. You can move so quickly with those compared to, you know, pulling the anchor and moving up or even trying to sit there with your hand and, you know, hand control. Did you have a hand control when you started chartering?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, when you get off that hand control trolling motor and go back and unhook a fish and either measure him or do whatever, you're taking a picture or whatever, you know.
You're hundreds of yards away if you're in current.
I mean, you're just blown right
off
the
bank. Let me get on the motor.
Whatever, you know.
Power back up there again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's amazing to me. You'd be able to hit that cruise control and go straight down the shoreline.
Right.
You know, if you're throwing lures for trout, stuff like that. You know, instead of having to sit up there with your hand on the motor and try to stay that certain distance off the bank.
Correct. Absolutely.
So, I mean, to me, I just love mine, you know.
Oh, I couldn't function well. I have learned to function without it at times, but I do not like to work without it. I do not like to work without a trolling motor.
It's
definitely down in the valley. I have my preferences of what I like about the three brands of each. I have the pros and cons of every motor that I've used, but, you know, I definitely would use a remote-controlled trolling motor, even in the back creeks. I have no problem using them whatsoever. I mean, some people are like, we'll say, well, Leon, don't you want to have hands-on so that you can make quick, small adjustments, you know, while you're fishing? Trust me, I can make quick, small adjustments. Mm-hmm. I really can.
Yeah, you can do it with those.
Yes.
Now, what I do when I pull up to a mud flat or something and I get in real shallow water, I usually drop my anchor besides hitting the, you know, the anchor button on the trolling motor, because, I mean, it will turn back and forth. Sometimes it'll stir up mud, even when you got it way up, because you're in real shallow water. So I do drop the anchor. Would you get a power pole, right?
Yeah, I got dual power poles, so I'll just hit the button and lock myself in so I won't rotate.
Yeah. And so what I do is just usually drop the anchor in there and fish like that. I'll use the trolling motor to get up to where I'm going, you know, but then turn it off so it doesn't stir up a lot of mud.
Right.
So, you know. got to watch those props too, because you know, you get up in that shallow and you can, you know, you can really. I messed up another prop the other day, which I got to get over and see Matt over here and get me another one.
There are those that have messed up props, and then there are those that will have messed up props.
Oh yeah,
at some point you're going to.
Well, and I always, you know, I've told Wingo this same thing too. Oh, okay, we got Ted on. Yeah, get talking about that. Good morning, Ted.
Morning, how you doing?
Hey, doing good. How about you?
Yeah, doing great. Just been busier than a bee in a tar bucket. But other than that, I just had a real quick question for Matt. Hey, Matt, I got a 19-foot Polar, and I got a good deal on a trolling motor. It's a 12-volt, but I put two 12-volt batteries in parallel so I can get a little extra ump out of it. And it's about a 50-some-pound thrust.
55.
Is that underrated?
Yeah, I would say so.
About what should I go with?
At least an 80.
An 80 on a 19-foot? Okay. All right. That's basically all I needed to know.
Oh, yeah. When you got two batteries on a 12-volt, all you're going to do is have more time. It's not going to make it any stronger.
Right, I know that, yeah. It's just going to give me a little more time. One 12-volt's not going to do much anything for you, but putting them in parallel like that give me a little more time.
Well, and I had an 82-pound on my Carolina Skiff, and and it did good. You know, it was 24-volt.
It does all right in back in clapboard or somewhere back in there, but, you know, out in the river, it ain't going to help much. Got an anchor.
Yeah, and whenever at 12-volt, whenever you're doing that.
You're going to burn it up.
Like trout fishing and stuff like that, if you're in the river, you know, things like that, it's going to be difficult for you to stay, moving down a bank and things like that, unless you can find you some eddies and stuff, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, y'all have a best day, and then I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Tell Miss Gail we said hey.
All right. She hears you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ted.
She said have a good day. You have a good one.
Thank you, now. Yeah, I had gotten away with, when I had a smaller boat, gotten away with the 12-volt motor up in the creeks like that and all. But when I started even getting out chasing jacks in the intercoastal, sometimes when the tide's running out, you know, the outgoing tide's usually stronger than the incoming. I mean, it still couldn't hold up to that, you know. And even though I had a smaller boat back then, this is before I was chartering and all. But that's why I went ahead and went up to 24-volt back then, even with a smaller boat, because, I mean, I could turn, you know, you could be going with a current or whatever. You can turn that thing against the current and go if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about, you know, having enough power on there. Now, you've got, I noticed with yours, like you said, you might be a little overkill because of the size of your boat and having 36-volt boat motor. But, I mean, it's well worth it.
Technically, I don't think it's overkill, and I'll explain in my theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I can run like a 24-volt. I only use as much as I need.
Mm-hmm.
I just have extra.
Right.
And most people are like, well, Leon, now here's the other part of the story. And Matt, I'll completely concur. I'm running lithium-ion batteries. I'm not running lead-acid batteries. Mm-hmm. I'm running Relion AH-100 batteries. They're a Group 31 size battery. They provide, I think, 220 amps for 25 amps for how do I say it 25 amps for 200 minutes pull. They only weigh 28 pounds a piece, my batteries. A regular Group 71 battery weighs between 69 and 72 pounds.
Hmm.
So I'm running, my batteries are so light in weight
comparatively.
I'm running three batteries that weigh less than two lead acid batteries, so I'm not losing any weight. I'm not gaining any weight here. So I have extra power. I have less weight. So I can play just like a 24-volt will. But I have extra power, and I don't have to run my batteries as hard. I don't have to run the motor as hard, putting less strain on it. I'm running a system cooler. And I actually have more power with 120. It's the strongest model out there. Stronger than Minn Kota or Motor Guide.
Yeah, we can talk more about batteries when we come back if you'd like to, Matt. Kind of explain that to people, you know. 222-8255 is the number to call us, and we'll be back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. More than 1,000 people streamed through Maryland's capital to honor five people who were slain in a newspaper office in a mass shooting this week. Those who gathered last night called quietly, clutched candles, or hoisted their signs together saying Annapolis strong. They remember the employees of the Capital Gazette newspaper who came under fire. They were a crucial piece of their tight-knit community, they say. Liberal activists, parents, and first-time protesters motivated by media accounts of children separated from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border plan to rally in hundreds of cities nationwide. The Trump administration stressing it does not have an actual policy of separating the children from their parents, but merely is enforcing existing policy, calling on Congress to make some changes. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average did well. It was up 220 points. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice.
Island Doctors cares about their patients.
They got my blood pressure off the ceiling, my thyroid off the floor.
Call us today to schedule a tour of one of our locations near you and take a peek at our best wellness program. And welcome home.
1-877-434-4676.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, June 30th, starting at 5 p.m., it's the Orange Park Freedom Festival, featuring country star Craig Morgan, fireworks, and more. Wednesday, July 4th, from 7:30 to 10, it's Red Hot and Boom, featuring a dazzling fireworks display on the St. Johns River at the Jacksonville Landing. And Wednesday, July 4th at 9 p.m., enjoy the 4th of July fireworks celebration at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Black Friday Outlet has Black Friday closeout deals every day. High-quality furniture is always up to 80% off. And if it's not the cheapest in town, it's free. Current and past military get extra discounts. 100-day same as cash. Delivery available. They'll even take away your old furniture. High-quality furniture, bedding, and rugs at Black Friday Outlet. 1187 Lane Avenue South. If they don't have it, they can get it.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Still have some good driving around town. Roads are clear. As for the weather, well, skies are going to cloud up a little later on. Going to have mostly afternoon showers, 60% chance of showers both today and tonight. Look for high today near 90, low tonight about 73, 50% chance of rain for your Sunday and Sunday night. High tomorrow 91, heat index 101. Still 77, AM 600, WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 The Answer. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. Still Just Fishing is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here he is, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back again this morning. And talking about these batteries, you know, I've seen people over the years, you know, tell me they have to get a battery within a year of fishing or whatever. They can't get batteries to last them a long time. But I noticed a lot of times when you talk to them about how they charge batteries, they go fishing. And it's sort of like they're having the, you know, the fuel problem, too, because they go fishing, they go back home, and they don't fill up the boat on the way home. So they're sitting there with a half gallon or a quarter of a, I mean, half a tank or a quarter of a tank of gas. All that condensation builds up, and then they have a fuel problem. That's what most of, when I talk to them, that's what most of these mechanics in these boat places are saying. That's what most of their work is. Probably 85 to 90% of their work is due to water in the fuel. And it's from the condensation. The same thing with the batteries. They tell me, you know, they come back home and then, you know, put the boat up, they clean the boat up, put it up and all that. And then when they're going to go fishing again in 2-3 weeks or a month later, they plug in their batteries a day or two before and charge their batteries up. Well, they've been sitting there, you know, down for so long. So what does that do to batteries?
It gets crystallized, so it doesn't allow to hold a charge. Most important thing is go home, charge your batteries.
Yeah.
Leave them charging.
And if you have a charger that kind of, you know, drops down in the, you know, as it's charging and it gets it full and it kind of keeps it a, what do they call it?
A trickle charge.
Trickle charge, yeah, during the time. I mean, that's fine. You can do that for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just, I mean, leave it plugged in. If you got a good charger that does that, allows you to be able to do that and just leave it plugged in the whole time. I mean, even if I'm off a week, sometimes what I've done is after it's charged for like 3 days, I'll go out there and unplug it for a day and then plug it back in. Is that doing it any benefit or, I mean, I just don't want to like thinking overheat the batteries, but I guess it's not as long as you got a good charger that's doing the trickle charge, right?
Right. As long as you got a good charger and it'll shut itself off mm-hmm. and just maintain your batteries.
Right. So you can leave it in plugged in 2 weeks or whatever and it's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's what I didn't know either. I mean, I hardly ever go a week without fishing, of course, but, you know, I've thought at times that might be like overheating it or whatever, but does it evaporate or the acid out of them or anything like that? I guess.
No, it shouldn't.
Okay. All right. Well, of course, if you've got a maintenance-free battery, you shouldn't do it at all, right?
Exactly.
You know, like the absorbed glass mats and things like that. What all kind of maintenance-free batteries do you sell?
Barracudas.
Barracudas. Mm-hmm. They're good batteries. That's what I had gotten from Charlie before he left, you know, right when you had purchased the trolling motor service.
Right.
Yeah, and because I had to get a new trolling motor, too, about 2 months before he sold it, because I hit a rock out there at Whiteshell and
deployed or not deployed?
Oh, it was deployed.
Oh, God.
It was one of those times where you're sitting there and we were catching, we're not right at the Whiteshell Rocks. Okay. We're down there by, you know, where the old Pirates Cove fish camp used to be.
Yep.
And the current started coming, you know, it's going out going tide, and we were catching a lot of trout with the birds diving there. But the current come down, and all of a sudden it was a full moon weekend. We was going to have like a minus 1.1 tide, so it was a foot lower than normal. And all of a sudden when that current hit, it was just too much for that trolling motor to hold. And we started moving back, and I said, okay, guys, you know, time to go. And it moved back far enough and hit a high rock in there. And I looked at my depth finder. It was like 7 foot deep, but it must have hit a high rock. Yeah, and twisted the bottom part of the trolling motor, broke the O-ring seal, flooded the motor, you know, with salt water.
Game over.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie fixed it, and I've got it, and I should have put it on the boat and checked it out. But anyway, so I've got a spare. But I wound up having to buy a new one because, you know, with us, I mean, it's, you know, you got to have one.
I usually have a spare, but this is the first time that I do not because mm-hmm. I bumped up to a 36.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten one yet.
Mm-hmm.
I will. But, I mean, in our business, our life is our fishing and tackle
mm-hmm.
and our boats. So it's behold of you to I have extra props in the boat, you know, I got everything, or I got it in the truck.
Yeah.
So a spare, I have had, back when I was 24 volts, I used to have a spare trolling motor in the truck in case I had a failure. I could come back to the boat ramp within 10 minutes and swap it out, and I'm right back out again.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, what other things besides working on trolling motors can you do at your shop?
All electricals, radios, bilge pump, aerators, live wells, whatever you guys need.
And you're getting to the point now that you can reach out to other guides that work in Jacksonville. And if we request that, hey, do me a favor, would you mind keeping on stock XYZ props or extra bilge pumps of a particular model, or, you know, right down to, you know, simple parts that get worn out, you'll keep them in stock for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
just give me a call, give me a list, and I'll get it in stock.
Just like the other day I asked you, you ordered two extra props for me, you know, because I chewed one up the other day, so now I got a new prop, but I have a spare one. And I ordered, I don't know about you, I keep an extra remote for my trolling motor.
I've got one.
Yeah.
I do too, because I have dropped mine over. Luckily, I grabbed it real quick, but I did drop it overboard.
You're talking to an idiot that threw his cast net, and somehow the remote I forgot was still around my neck, and it grabbed a hold of it. Shink, gone.
Oh yeah,
right over to the side. I was like, "Yep, there it goes."
Didn't float.
Hell no, man! That thing was gone. That was gone. That one was gone. So I had to go to the spare box in the boat and pull out the spare remote.
I bet that was a Minn Kota one, right?
No, I think it was a motor guide.
Oh,
one.
Really?
It was one of the small motor guides. That thing disappeared. Oh, it was gone. Absolutely gone.
Yeah, I need to get over there and get a prop from you too. And speaking of that, because I was in Mill Cove the other day, and of course, what I do is I keep the Sharp prop for using a deep water river. Strong current, you know, and all that, brand new prop. I put one that I filed because I've hit oysters with it and dug it in the mud, stuff like that. I keep that one for the creeks, and I always change them out, you know, to go. I mean, it's easy to change them out. I used to think at times, you know, well, I'm not going to get that shallow today. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've hit an oyster bed. And I mean, if it does that right there, that's chewed up and it's not going to hold you in good, fast current, you know. So the other day I was in Mill Cove, and of course, you know, it was high tide, but we had like a 4.1 high tide. It was a very low high tide.
Okay.
And I found a good oyster bed over there with one of my new props. So
I've only got,
I know, it was just only you thinking about it. And so anyway, I've only got one new prop left in my boat, and I got two that's, you know, boogered up a little bit there, so I need to get over there. But speaking about getting over there, now that you've moved from West Kinnett over to St. Augustine, Old St. Augustine Road,
which has made me very happy.
Yeah, you're a lot further from me.
Is it really for you?
Oh yeah,
that's a lot closer for me.
I'm 32 miles from the house here.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, coming here is 32 miles. I live, you know, up in toward Callahan and all of there. You know, north of Jacksonville.
You know, they make, well, there's
I'm 29
there's no reason,
miles.
Yeah, there's no reason to move back to Jacksonville.
I'm 29 miles from the boat ramp that I use from Sisters Creek. So, I mean, it's quite a ways out there.
Matt, but that's exactly why I keep my mouth shut, because of how lucky and blessed I am living 2.4 miles from my boat ramp.
Yeah.
That's why I don't say it. Just
oh, I love it. I live 1.8 from the shop.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, is that one of the reasons you moved over there?
Well, it's a better location, I think.
Yeah. And how far out of St. Augustine Road is that now? Tell people, like, where you're
at. Oh, it's right on Old St. Augustine Road, right off of 295.
Are you north of 295 or south?
North.
North.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's
I'm inside the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So if you're going south, you're on the right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Correct.
And there's a Taco Bell there on the road. On
the Wendy's across the street, Taco Bell. I'm next to Tools for Time, and in between Tools for Time and Massey.
Oh, okay. All right, so I didn't know how far out you were, because I hadn't been over there yet since you just moved. I mean, you just moved. What?
I like it.
A month ago,
yeah.
And here's the neat thing, and I know Matt likes it. Mm-hmm. He's got this giant roll-up door. Mm-hmm. He can now pull into the driveway and back an entire truck and boat inside his workspace.
Oh, wow.
Into his office and work inside the shade where poor Charlie... Holy cow, he was at the mercy of the sun gods, and he'd have to put up the sun tent, you know, and get beat to death. And where he works now, he's got a breeze that pushes through the building. So,
oh, yeah.
It's nice.
Great. Yeah.
It really is.
And you're open what hours?
From 8 to 5.
8 to 5, 5 days a week.
Monday through Friday and Saturday by appointment.
Okay. All right. Saturday you will, and so you will work Saturdays if people
need
call
be.
You.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And
yes, sir.
Get ahead of you. Okay. And anyway, we'll, George, if you can hold on, we'll get you on as soon as we come back, and we'll be back right after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 The Answer. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. Still Just Fishing is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here he is, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show. It ate it up that fast.
Did it eat the nut or shaft or what?
No, it ate the nut. And the shaft was all pitted and all that stuff. But I'll tell you about that.
That's extreme, like trousers.
Yes. Good morning, George.
Pissed.
Good morning. Good morning. How you guys doing?
All right, sir.
I've worked with three kinds of batteries in computers and radio systems. And there's a distinctive difference. Like a lead acid and the NiCads kind of increase the voltage as you charge it. So it takes one kind of charger. It's kind of easy to see when it's charged out. NiCads need a special charger because the voltage pops up fairly quickly, but it's not charged yet, and then it continues on for a certain amount of time. And the sensor in there tells you how it kind of pulses. It kind of tells you how far it's been charged. And I like NiCads. They're great batteries. And you can recharge it for year after year. Now, the lead acids, there's a special charger when you hit a wall where there are sulfates built up on the surface of the plates. And that charger will knock that sulfates off. That'll extend the life out to some time. Navy was using them for years, and then they're being sold commercially now. But you guys are pretty well going over what needs to be done. Have you seen any trolling motors with a shroud on them?
The shroud. Oh, you're talking about like the weed guard thing?
They used to put guard tight.
I used to, but I don't think people use them anymore. I don't know.
Right.
What is it now?
It was like a weed guard that went over your trolling motor to keep the prop from getting chewed, you know, getting the prop tangled up with weeds and stuff.
Wasn't that about the 80s?
That was quite a while ago. And people used to use that, especially for ponds like, lakes like Loch Looser, where they had a lot of hydrilla in them and stuff like that.
God, yeah. I forgot all about those, man.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some weird things. People put some knives around them.
Knives?
Blades.
Right, to keep planks clean.
Like line cutters?
Yeah. But no, I'm talking about like razor blades.
Oh, wow. What was that, George?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen them, but it's just a kind of a tube that goes over there, keeps a propeller from tangling up fishing line and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. All right, well, great.
It's great you brought that up about the chargers, different voltage chargers. I forgot, that slipped my mind sitting here.
It has the lithium ion is a smarter charger. It kind of really looks at what's going on more than lead acid. You don't really need a super smart one with lead acid, even NiCads, but if you want to extend the battery life on a NiCad, just make sure that thing's set up, that charger is set up for NiCads.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good idea.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, George. Appreciate the call.
Those lithiums I have, man, they got computer boards in them and everything, man, charging themselves up and keeping it XYZ voltage and yada, yada, yada.
We got David on here. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I have a question for you. I've been fishing down in St. Augustine in the Inlet area there.
Yes, sir.
And 3 weeks ago, I was just absolutely slaying the big whiting. I'm talking about 16, 17, 18 inch. Just fun. On the outgoing tide, well, I came back. I'm from North Carolina. I was raised here in Jacksonville, but I live in North Carolina now, and I come back. And I went there, and I didn't even get a bite from them things. Where did they go?
Well,
somewhere cooler.
Yeah, I was just saying, this water temperature, if you were gone, you say, a month ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you, that water.
I was catching 20, 30 of them.
Yes, sir.
In 3 hours. I mean, just as fast as you could get a piece of bait down.
Yeah, but let me tell you, that water temperature has gone way up in the river. I've been reading in the river. I've been reading 87.6, 87.8.
Oh, yeah. Depending on water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever I've been up in the creeks, I have actually hit a couple of creeks that are around 90, 91 degrees. That water temperature has jumped. We've had some calm winds and some real hot temperatures, you know. And when that happens, those things, I think, are moving up north a little bit more.
I bet you they're in the Carolinas. That's where I bet they are.
Yeah, I bet they're up there close to where you probably left them out there.
I'm not exaggerating. They're following that water temperature.
Have you fished up there?
Oh, I live in North Carolina. But
yeah.
I tell you what, I can get from where I live. I live an hour and a half above Charlotte towards the Blue Ridge Mountains, up there on the parkway. It takes 5.5 hours for me to get to the coast of North Carolina.
Ouch.
And I can get I live not far from, Asheville. I'm an hour from Virginia, an hour and a half from Tennessee. I live way up there in the point of North Carolina.
I know what you're talking about.
So I just come to Florida,
Yeah.
This is where I was raised. Anyway.
But I think you're going to have – what area do you fish? You said you're fishing down around St. Augustine Inlet. I mean, you may even be able to switch up and go, right up there around Fernandina, something like that. You may get 1 or 2 degree cooler temperature up there, even off of like Tiber Island and places like that. It'll be – sometimes it'll be 1 or 2 degrees difference just between St. Augustine and here. And
so have they gone up the river or have they gone out in the ocean?
I actually think this time of the year they've gone up the river a little bit, but they also have gone north and then up the rivers.
Yeah.
like at the mouth of St. Mary's River and all that, Nassau Sound. I know they're still catching some off of Nassau Sound Bridge. Somebody told me the other day they're still catching them off that, which is the Nassau River. You know where that's at?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I sure do.
They're catching them off of that bridge at times, but I think they're catching a lot of small to mediums. I don't think they're catching them big ones. Now, we were bull redfish fishing the other day. I say the other day. It's been almost 2 weeks ago. And we had a piece of cut ladyfish down, and something kept nibbling it. And it finally, I decided to check the bait, and I pulled it up, and it was a 21-inch whiting.
Holy cow, you thought that was a redfish. I know
not,
you did.
Yeah, I have not seen a whiting.
I got to see a picture of that.
I have not seen a whiting that big in literally 15 to 20 years.
I haven't either. But I was catching 16, 17. I wasn't keeping anything under a foot. I mean, literally, they were just so big.
Yeah.
It blew me away. I mean, it just blew me away. They were huge.
This one we caught on a 5-aught kale hook. I mean, that's how big his mouth was. We caught him on a 5-aught kale hook.
Good gosh. Yeah. I just use those number one circle hooks, and they work wonderful.
Yeah.
I love those circle hooks.
But I'm afraid I just don't know exactly where they've gone. I've actually thought about going back and dropping some dead shrimp down there where I caught that one at and see if there's more of them in there. But
there's another Mac Daddy down there.
I just haven't had anybody wanting to, you know, whiting fish lately, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, when they're that size, you know, that's worth whiting fishing for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And buddy, I was only catch the first whiting I caught, I cut the belly out and stripped it about a half inch wide at the top down to a point, and then hook it in the half inch side, make them about 2 inches, 2.5 inches long, and they were eating those things alive from the bellies of those whiting. I mean, they just tear. I mean, you couldn't get your line to the bottom. It was unbelievable. And as soon as that tide went slack, they were gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't gone. They just quit.
They just quit eating, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were there, but they just quit eating. So they've gone upriver. All right, I'll work my way up then.
And I think they've gone north a little bit just because our water temperature has gone way up. I have seen it in the last 2 weeks go up really quite a few degrees. And when it goes up that quickly, that changes everything.
Yeah, they just get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's what it might have been, but I mean, so I'll just have to move. I'll have to go find them again.
Yep, that's the main thing. Just have to go try to find them.
I hear there's.
If you can ever talk to Larry Finch, he usually follows them up and down the coast. So if you ever talk to him, he might could tell you where they're at.
Yeah, he's a guy, didn't he?
No, sir. He owns a seafood market, and he just surf fishes everywhere.
Let me give you a clue about Larry Finch. If you see him, you're in the right place, okay? Trust me.
Yeah,
stick close to him.
He surf fishes all up and down the coast, is what he does.
Okay.
And, you know, for a seafood market.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you a lot. I appreciate that. I was thinking I was doing something wrong, but they, like you said.
No, you're doing nothing wrong.
No, it's not you.
Kurt Waltz once said to me, fish think about three things. They think about food, they think about sex, and they think about water temperature. Those are the three things that are very important to them.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. I got a joke for you. You know why when you catch catfish? Oh, you're gone.
No, we're not. Keep going.
Okay, I hear the bit. You know why when you catch a catfish, you can only measure him, you can't weigh him?
No, why?
Because he doesn't have any scales.
Oh, God.
Thank you, David. I appreciate the call, man.
All righty.
Good luck to you. All righty. And 222-8255 is the number of callers, and we'll be back after this.